1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Chuck Sievertson. President Biden taking part in a White House St. Patrick's Day traditional reception this evening for the Irish Prime Minister.
Every St. Patrick's Day, every Irishman goes out to find another Irishman to make a speech to.
He'll present Leo Varadkar with a bowl of shamrocks. The president calling for tougher penalties for senior bank executives and failed financial institutions after the collapse of Silicon Valley and Signature Banks. The International Criminal Court in The Hague issued an arrest warrant for Russian President Putin and other Russians, accusing them of the deportation of children from Ukraine.
The judges have reviewed the information and evidence submitted by the prosecutor and determined that there are credible allegations against these persons for the alleged crimes.
That's the court president, Peter Hovmansky. A federal judge today ordered additional testimony from a lawyer for former President Trump, part of the investigation into Mr. Trump's handling of classified information. This is ABC News. A federal judge today ordered additional testimony from a lawyer for former President Trump.
In a victory for the special counsel investigating former President Trump's handling of classified material, a federal judge in Washington ordered attorney Evan Corcoran to appear before a grand jury. The special counsel wants to question Corcoran about an alleged phone call he had with Trump as the Justice Department investigated whether classified materials remained at his Florida home, even after Trump's attorney swore he turned over everything in his possession. Attorney-client privilege can be broken when a suspected crime occurred.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. A well-known character actor is dead. His spokespeople say Lance Reddick died suddenly this morning from natural causes. He may be most recognized for playing the Baltimore cop Cedric Daniels in HBO's acclaimed drama The Wire. More recently, he logged memorable recurring performances as the concierge in the John Wick series. Reddick was 60 years old. CDC says flu activity remains low nationally, with weekly hospital numbers declining for the past 14 weeks. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin's longtime Secretary of State is retiring after more than 40 years in office. Governor Evers is appointing former State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski to take Doug LaFollette's place. Wisconsin voters will decide if judges should have more discretion when setting bail. Social justice groups want you to vote no. Jonathan McCray Jones is with the ACLU.
Pretrial detention was never about the safety of the community, but selling the illusion of safety as justification for mass incarceration, government revenue, and outdated racist and classist policies.
Wisconsin votes on April 4th. In sports, Marquette beats Vermont to kick off the big dance. They'll play Michigan State Sunday. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, "We're going to amputate your leg." I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot!
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
Over
on
if you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. President Biden taking part in a White House St. Patrick's Day traditional reception this
located just south of 50th and France and Edina. Again, greatwallydina.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cook, hit me, cut it,
because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, victors.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues, Zoe, are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, they are, and we really appreciate their support and all the hard work that they've been doing for years and years and years here fighting for Mother Earth. We discuss a lot of things here, and today we're going to have State Senator Mary Kunish on to give us an update of what's happening here in Minnesota at the Capitol. A lot of great things happening. Again, just reminding, and I'm like reminding myself, we have a trifecta here, the governor, the Senate, and the House are all Democrats, and they're getting things done. We really appreciate that. But nationally, we're a little upset, but I won't get into that right now. But what we will get into is the news with Ogama that you don't hear anywhere else. Welcome, Ogama.
Hey, Buju Anin relatives. My name is Ogama Ganuakwe. I am a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I have some news for you here on Native Roots Radio. We're going to start with the good news. The good news is that today the state of Minnesota, the governor, Tim Walz, signed into law what is being called universal school lunches. It is a law that will provide breakfast and lunches at no charge to all students in Minnesota that are participating schools. It makes Minnesota only the fourth state in the country to do so. According to Minnesota Public Radio, Governor Walz told Minnesota parents that this is going to ease some of the stress on them. And Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, who was also present, said that this was one of the most important things she's ever worked on. Many families are really celebrating this. The legislation is, of course, very similar to the program that was introduced during COVID-19's pandemic that provided meals for all students. And it was discontinued at the end of the last school year. And many parents in Minnesota, myself included, you know, we're kind of not ready to have school lunch costs, you know, rebudgeted in for us. So I'm really excited that beginning next year, the cost of school lunches for all students in Minnesota that are participating in those schools are going to have that option. There's also a law in Minnesota that requires schools to provide identical meals to all students. So that is really an exciting thing as well. So that's providing lunch or preventing lunch shaming practices where children are denied food or given substitutes that would indicate their family is maybe struggling in the financial realm. So those measures were kind of already in place, but to have this cover all school lunches and breakfasts for students, even if the families don't meet the household income guidelines, is going to be a really big deal. Robert, as a teacher, as a former teacher, how are you feeling about this?
Well, you know, it's so important for that meal. You know, an equalizer out there, you know, and a lot of, you know, Ogama, we've talked about over the years, a lot of our students in the inner city here sometimes don't know where they're staying the night before, and school is their savior in a sense.
Right. Yes. And one important thing that this bill pointed out, and advocates for this bill have pointed out, is that there's many students whose families don't qualify under the USDA income guidelines, who are also, you know, at risk of being food insecure or are already food insecure, meaning that their family may not have enough food to feed everybody in the household every day. So they really rely on that free lunch or free breakfast at school to be able to make ends meet, to cover the cost of meals for their family, and to not have those school lunches be paid for because they don't meet those income guidelines is a hardship for a lot of families. I mean, since it ended last year, just for paying for school lunches for my daughter, I think I've sent $400 into her school this school year to cover breakfast and lunches for her, because she rides the school bus, so we don't do breakfast before we leave the house. It just doesn't work out for our schedules. So it's convenient to have breakfast available, but, you know, to budget that in when I'm talking about, you know, school clothes and school supplies and, you know, all those other costs that come with having a student, you know, that was a big hit this year. So I'm really excited that this is going through as a parent personally. The other thing I wanted to touch on as we come into what maybe resembles spring is that there are a few Flood the Court events coming up here towards the end of March. Thursday and Friday, March 30th and 31st at 8:30 a.m. at the Clearwater County Courthouse in Bagley, Minnesota, is the jury trial to support BA grandmother Grandma Jill, during her upcoming trial. She took her third stand to protect water at the Mississippi headwaters, and she suffered chronic pain and permanent injury for taking that stand. There was an officer who damaged her during one of her arrests, and they're holding that rally again Thursday and Friday, March 30th and 31st at the Clearwater County Courthouse. And there are some Zoom support dates in Aiken County, March 23rd, beginning at 9 a.m. Central. There's Zoom support dates in Aiken County. There's in-person dates for Aiken County, March 31st as well. You can support Don Goodwin, Water Protector, April 4th in person at the Aiken County Courthouse. And you can support Tara Haska in person, April 5th at the Aiken County Courthouse. If you have not yet and you want details on that, go to Flood the Courts and sign up for the link. It's on actionnetwork.org, and click on Receive Line 3 Flood the Courts Updates. The last thing that I want to talk about, Robert, and something that's probably going to be a theme as we are going through our news today, it was announced yesterday that Minnesota regulators are monitoring a cleanup of 400,000 gallons of radioactive water from an Xcel Energy nuclear power plant in Monticello, Minnesota. The company is claiming that there's no danger to the public, but it has also come out that this leak that happened into the ground has happened since November. It began in November, and they did not go public with it, claiming they wanted to, you know more information about it. The water contains tritium, and they claim again that there's no danger to the public. But I do know from looking on the maps that it looks like the nuclear power plant Monticello is, you know, very close to the Mississippi River. And it looks like there's ongoing monitoring at about 24 wells confirmed. And those things are just, I mean, it's absolutely atrocious that this even happened. For those of you who don't know Minnesota's locations, Monticello is about 35 miles northwest. That means upriver from Minneapolis-St. Paul. So that, had the capacity, had it reached the Mississippi River, where many of the drinking water for the Twin Cities comes out of, that could have been a lot worse. And we're still, you know, getting more information as the leak was confirmed back in November of 2022. And in between that time, Robert, I found something really interesting, too. The nuclear power plant in Monticello was actually approved to stay in operation for another 20 years, like a week and a half ago, despite that they've been dealing with this leak since November 22nd. So I'm not really sure how that works out regulation wise, that they're, you know, just given a clean bill of health to continue operating for 20 years when they've clearly had a leak. And one of the things that's really concerning to me as I'm reading a lot of these articles is the same thing that concerns me when we talk about things like the Line 3 pipeline. There's not a lot of information in here from the company saying what they're going to do to prevent these things from happening in the future. So we'll probably talk a little bit more about that as we go along in the show today. And thanks for having me back, everybody. I've been gone a little bit here and there, so glad to be back.
Yep, great job as always. We're glad to have you back. That was Ogama with the news that you don't hear anywhere else. Really appreciated the native-centric, and we're always protecting Mother Earth, so those updates are very imperative. Thank you so much. Hey, up next, State Senator Mary Kunis. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Native American rights are on the ballot April 4th. Vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz. She values Wisconsin's tribes as sovereign nations and recognizes Native rights with fairness and integrity. Judge Janet understands the importance of issues such as missing and murdered Indigenous women, treaty rights, and hunting and gathering. We deserve someone that knows these things matter. In-person early voting begins March 21st. Check your municipality's early voting schedule at vote.wisdoms.org or call the Voter Protection Hotline at 608-336-3232. You can register to vote at the polls on Election Day with a photo ID and proof of residence. Your tribal ID can be used as a photo ID to vote. Stand up for your people. Vote for someone who will stand up for you and stand up for Native rights. Vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz for Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Paid for by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin as an in-kind to Janet for Justice.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This segment of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, thanks, Zoe. And again, thanks, Ogama, for the great news update. Just crazy stuff. But now we're here with State Senator Mary Kunis here of the great state of Minnesota, and a lot of happenings up at the Capitol and a lot of good things that are going on. And so we can't wait for this great report. Welcome, State Senator.
Good evening, everybody. Good to be here with you.
Yes, it's pretty awesome. So what's been going on, Senator? I know Ogama just reported, and I saw pictures of you and some of our Native crew watching the governor sign some bills. Mary, it's a good day to be not only Indian, but Indigenous and a Minnesotan.
Yeah, it definitely is. I know that the governor signed into law a whole bunch of stuff. I'll see if I can find the list of it. But one important thing that got signed in this week was the MIFBA bill, the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act bill. That was the bill that I and Representative Keeler authored to put in those protections should ICWA go away. So we got that taken care of, passed it off of the floor a week or so ago. And now the governor actually signed it for sure this past week, or excuse me, just yesterday. And then in a couple of weeks, we're going to try to get our community together and do another ceremonial signing of that, because we really did rely on the voices of the community to be sure to that we were doing the work in a good way. And the tribes had their very own work group that worked very hard to make sure that we had all our ducks in a row. And so, yeah, that was the really the great signing. And then today I got to also witness another signing of a bill to allow for universal meals for all of our students here in Minnesota. And so we students will no longer have to pay for lunches. So those that whose family are not able to, for financial reasons, don't have to go through the rigmarole of filling out documents and forms. And those that aren't able to pay don't have to worry about that anymore. So any kid can come to school and be fed. And we know that when our kids are hungry, it doesn't work very well to try to teach them. And again, Robert, you and I, having been former teachers, recognize that that's a real thing. That's a real deal. And Ogama, you've got young kids. You know what it's like when they're hungry. So nothing seems to work when you're hungry. So that was really so very, very exciting for today. You know, in Minnesota, we had this terrible rash of catalytic converters being stolen and resold. So the governor signed a bill that would, that addresses that. These are all really important bills that we've been able to pass because we do have a DFL majority in our state government. And so many things have been held up over the past, since I was elected and, the first elected in the House in 2016, and we're finally unclogging everything. We're just putting good policy, good programs in, and it's been just absolutely delightful and exciting.
It's a lot of work, too. And I've been down there watching you work, and I'm going to be down there Tuesday for the big celebration down there at the Capitol. And I see how hard you guys work. I mean, I visited you on a separate bill and talked to you about that and ran around, talked to a bunch of senators and representatives. But it's a lot of work all crammed in a short time.
Yeah, we meet from January until May every year, and we have a lot of work to get done in that time, a lot of bills to be heard. I think I mentioned I have over 100 bills that I'm authoring, and they're good bills. It's not just like this and that, it's really, really good legislation for Minnesota. And I'm just one person. We've been able to move the needle on education, on healthcare, on housing. All of those things are going to make a big difference when it comes to the kind of life the quality of life that we want in Minnesota. And I'm really sorry that, you know, there are other states that don't have that. We passed the PRO Act to ensure that women have access to abortions and have the right to choose what happens to their body. And we see all around the nation, states, you know, taking that back and putting even more restrictions on. Right. And so I'm really proud to, and I'm so thankful that I live in Minnesota and I have the opportunity to do this.
Yeah, and we are too. You know, our neighboring state there's a lot of anti-voting things going on, and that's all across the country, and we wanted to make it easier for our people to vote. You know, I have a quick question, and I don't want to be too controversial and surprise you with a question here, so if you really don't know, that's fine, but we just had this issue with Monticello and with the nuclear leakage since November. As a senator, what can you and how can we support you in a good way about this? And what can happen quickly or not quickly? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, there are all kinds of parameters and guardrails. That's the big buzzword these days, guardrails. That we put around nuclear energy. You know, Minnesota has we have one nuclear plant in Prairie Island, and then we've got this one up in Monticello. And, you know, the big worry, and we heard this from the tribes on last week when we had Sovereignty Day, you know, they're not against nuclear energy, but if you look down at Prairie Island, they are like within meters of this nuclear power plant, and they have one way out. They have one road to get out of those lowlands. So if it floods or if anything happens to that nuclear plant, and everybody will say, oh, it's safe, we've got all these guardrails, we have all these protections. And I have to say, my niece works down there, actually. But there are also big nuclear storage caskets that are down there. And imagine if there is a flood or if there is any kind of upheaval in the land, you know, the earth. So what we can do, back to your question, is first of all, we need to know what went wrong and why and how it went wrong and what we need to do to ensure that that doesn't happen ever, ever, ever again. I'm sure the people of Monticello don't want that to happen ever, ever. I mean, and those downriver of the Mississippi. And then we need to have really good information, factual information by neutral parties who are the experts. And then perhaps we have to look at creating some kind of legislation. I'm sure they will come to the legislature and ask for money to do those things when, you know, the big CEOs and the chair people are earning a lot of money from the people that are using those services. But we do have the MPCA, the Minnesota Public MP, Minnesota
MPCA.
Pollution Control Agency, yes, Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, that I'm sure is looking into it, and a number of other agencies that will have to ascertain what the problem is and what we have to do to ensure that that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, it's been on our radar here on Native Roots Radio, because we're just so upset about this and not being hearing about it. But thank you for that insight and information. We definitely do have to keep our eyes on. Mary, do you have time for another segment?
Yep, I can stay around.
Right on. All right. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish of the great state of Minnesota. We'll be right back. You are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Bye.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hello, Minnesota. This is Tom Hartman, and you can catch me every weekday from 11 to 2 right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's smart radio for smart people.
The Electric Fetus is having a pre-inventory store-wide sale now through March 19. Take 20% off almost everything in the store, new and used vinyl, CDs and DVDs, Electric Fetus t-shirts, hoodies and pint glasses, and tons of other great gift ideas. The store is open 10 to 6 Tuesday through Saturday and 11 to 6 on Sunday. Electric Fetus is located just south of downtown Minneapolis at 2000 South 4th Avenue. More info at electricfetus.com. Sale ends Sunday.
Seward Co-op is now offering convenient self-serve and prepackaged hot options and salad bars at both the Franklin and Friendship stores. Breakfast items available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch served all day every Sunday. Their weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight cuisines from around the world. They offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free options daily. 95% of the ingredients used are organic from small-scale, local community food producers whenever possible. More at seward.coop.
SeniorCommunities.guide is your free online website to find housing, care, and resources for seniors in Minnesota. Use a powerful, award-winning search tool to quickly improve your search. You will have all the information you need to contact providers directly without any hassle. Start your search now at SeniorCommunities.guide and follow us on Facebook for interesting articles, helpful advice, and how older adults are changing the world. SeniorCommunities.guide.
At Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have wood stoves that qualify for the new 30% income tax credit, a great opportunity to get an efficient stove and heat with renewable energy.
Right now, avoid supply chain delays, avoid the fall rush, avoid bad weather installation, and save money because we are now discounting the price on all chimney parts you need for installation for any of Woodland's new stoves and fireplaces.
We can help you with the stove and the chimney planning. Want to do it yourself? We will help you determine all the parts needed with our installation know-how. We have been installing wood stoves and fireplaces for over 45 years.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood, gas, and electric units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. Save money. Take advantage of the spring and summer chimney discounts when you buy any fireplace product right now at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call because we don't like to see anyone in pain. And we'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
Chambaud Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChambaudFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for some light snow tonight with a low around 10, Saturday cloudy with a high near 24, and Sunday sunny with a high near 33. Experience the bold flavors of Szechuan and Mandarin cuisine at the Great Wall Restaurant. Indulge in their menu favorites like the hot and sour soup, sesame chicken, and Peking duck. Order for takeout and view the extensive menu at GreatWallEdina.com. Conveniently located just south of 50th and France and Edina. Again, GreatWallEdina.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Development Institute.
Right on. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we got a lot to talk about, a lot of positive things happening, a lot of news happening, free lunch for kids, that's right on, just all these great things. Mary, there's some stuff, too, that I don't know if it's controversial or what, but, you know, you have a person that you've been talking about with ranked choice voting. I mean, you can explain that a little bit to our listeners.
Mary, you're on mute. Sorry.
There we go. I didn't want to hear me chomping on popcorn. One of the very exciting things that happened today was I got to meet somebody that I have admired from afar, and it is Alaska's Congresswoman Mary Petola, and she is a congresswoman from up in Alaska that won her congressional seat that she probably wouldn't have, maybe might not have won if we had gone through the regular, two-candidate, three-candidate, first-choice sort of voting process. But she was elected, and they used ranked choice voting in the process for her election. So she's a Democrat, but she's a moderate, and she defeated former Governor Sarah Palin and Alaska Policy Forum member Dick McGitch in an upset this past August. And then she ran again in November and won, and she became the very first Alaska Native member of Congress. Very first Alaska Native member of Congress. And she's the only Russian Orthodox as well, which is really interesting. She's also the very first woman ever to represent Alaska in the House and the first Democrat since 1972. So she's a rock star.
I was 11 when that last happened. Jeez, that was a long time ago.
Anyways, she was in town today. And so they brought her over to the Capitol because she testified in a hearing to support ranked choice voting. I got to meet her and speak with her a little bit. And then we had a little lunch together, and she went off and did her thing. And I just got back from sort of a little happy hour with other folks that support ranked choice voting. And I'm sure people are asking, what the heck is ranked choice voting? Right. Well, it's a different way of voting other than going into the polls, looking at the list, and just choosing one person. So it's more of a multi, like you choose your first choice, your second choice, and your third choice. And then based on that, so like in a single seat election, if a candidate receives a majority, which is 50% plus one of first choice ranking in the first round, then the candidate wins. So if that candidate gets the most 50 plus 1% of the first choice, they automatically win. But if no candidate receives that 50%, they don't reach that threshold, then there's an instant runoff where the second round takes place. And in that instant runoff, the candidate with the fewest first choice votes drops off. They're defeated. And those ballots now count towards those voters' second choice. And so that process continues until one candidate reaches a majority and wins. And Congresswoman Petola was pretty convinced that if it wasn't for ranked choice voting up in Alaska, that she would not have been successful because it has been very much controlled by white men. And the fact that here a woman Democrat, moderate, was able to succeed. And she's just a delightful person. She has, you know, her priorities match us down here in the lower 49. But I felt really lucky and excited today to meet her and hear about the work that she's been doing already.
Wow, that's exciting. You know, I always want to bring in Zoe here because she has that young mind and just a college graduate. On, do you have any questions or statements about that, Zoe?
I think it's exciting. I guess I didn't really know the impact that it would have, you know, what you're speaking to, Senator. Mm-hmm. If you could speak a little to, like, what that would look like for us, I guess, or if that's something that, you know, we're starting to consider in the Minnesota, you know, in the state.
Sure. So some of the municipalities already do ranked choice voting. So, for example, the mayoral campaign over in Minneapolis, Jacob Frey succeeded twice using ranked choice voting. And the way that the ranked choice voting folks here in Minnesota would like to do it, they would like to do it, you know, from the governor all down the ticket. But there are those that don't think Minnesota is quite ready for that. And one of them is our Secretary of State, Steve Simon. He thinks that at the municipal level, that's fine and it should work. But he doesn't know. And I think a lot of education has to go out around how this works because we're not used to it. And it sort of freaks a lot of people out. But the you know, what they found is that it gives voters more choice and more power. And it also allows for other parties to participate in this. It requires those candidates to build a broad majority of coalitions. So, you know, rather than just going to our base of, like, for me, Democrats, I would have to reach out to Republicans, Libertarians, other parties and say, look, you know, if you can't make me your first choice, would you make me your second choice? And here's why. So you have to build those coalitions a lot stronger, and that's going to take time. It really does encourage positive campaigning and civility because, you know, as candidates look to become either the first or the second choice, if somebody comes to me and says, you're my first choice, but who should I have as a second choice? And I say, oh, Joe Schmo has been really rude. He's been passing out misinformation about me. He hasn't been this or that. They might not choose him. So they have to be civil in order to be chosen for a second or a third place. It also promotes more inclusive and diverse representation and just has proven to be successful along the way. So there are some cities that do this at the city level. Minneapolis does it at the governor's, at the mayoral level. And so I think it's going to take more education around this. It might be this summer that we would go around and talk to tribes and ask them how they feel about it, if they'd be interested in participating. We already are planning to reach out and talk about adding polling places or like mobile voting vehicles on tribal lands. So this might be part of the conversation we also have with tribes.
Mary, with ranked of choice voting, it's more inclusive, right? Isn't that what you were saying just earlier? It gives more people to come in and run.
Right, because if you have those different choices, it's not just one and done. We now have more opportunity to move a candidate up the rank as we go. So it's ranked choice voting. And that might be less nerve-wracking for candidates who are people of color, who are women, who are folks that have never run before for a public office and are nervous, but they would make a really good elected official. It really does expand the field of candidates. Because here in Minnesota, we have Republicans or Democrats, and if you are another party, you have to go out and you have to get X amount of signatures to be added, or you have to, Yes, not the primary, but what's the first one that we do when we choose our
endorsement?
Not the endorsement, but our precinct caucuses.
Yeah,
our precinct that's coming caucuses. Up. Yeah, it's been a long day.
Yeah.
But our precinct caucuses, you know, if you get people out there from other parties and they can get the support, they get enough votes when we go through those primaries, and then they can be added to the ballot. But you know, the way it stands, we're kind of a two-party system, and this would absolutely allow for other parties to participate.
Yeah, that's great right there. Mary, thank you so much for stopping in. It means so much to us. I think, Ogema, you got a minute, Ogema, if you got a statement or a question.
Yeah, I just wanted to let the people who are listening to us on air know, instead of watching us, that there's a little thing that says you can advocate for ranked choice voting in Minnesota or nationally. You can go to fairvotemn.org. That's fairvotemn.org.
Thank you so much, Ogema. And State Senator Pinigigi, thank you so much for being on and sharing all this great news and information.
Absolutely. You guys all have a good good weekend.
I'll see you at the powwow tonight. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Ho-wa.
I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hi, this is Laura Hedlund with Food Freedom Radio. This week we'll be talking about universal free school lunch with the Metro Food Network. On Tuesday, the Minnesota Senate passed by 38-26 a program which guarantees breakfast and lunch for all students across Minnesota, regardless of family income. The universal school lunch bill already passed the Minnesota House, so now waits for governor's signature. Metro Food Justice this week on Food Freedom Radio, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 9 a.m., and anytime via podcast.
Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh.
Good one. Hey, Ogama and Zoe, I got a powwow I got to go to, so I might be just leaving while you guys are in mid-sentence. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, we should maybe do a quick roundup, Ogama, and really let's talk a little bit about this unbelievable thing that's happening that we don't want to breeze over. We really want to talk about it, Ogama, you know, with this nuclear power plant. And I know years ago, before you guys were born, probably, that the American Indian Movement was fighting these nuclear plants, and especially down on Prairie Island. And we knew things like this would happen, and especially in the depressed areas of tribes, tribal nations, tribal reservations, and things like that, Ogama.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's other places that have advocated for this type of work as well. I was just kind of cruising and I found an article back from 2012 about a group that was working in Minnesota, an environmental group, and they kind of sounded the alarm about this power plant in Monticello, Minnesota, and talked about the amount of people whose drinking water would be affected if there was some sort of discharge. And it talked about this tritium discharge being the most common leak that happens at nuclear power plants. And I mean, it's just, it's really, I just can't count the number of times where there's you know, there's organizations, there's Native people, there's environmental activists that have called and said, you know, these are the kind of things that could happen if we allow these types of projects to come through. And time and time again, they're proven right. And yet the general public and, you know, the legislatures, the powers that be, they just don't listen. And I just, I struggle to understand why that is.
Yeah, you know, Ogama, we're a little older than Zoe. And, you know, it feels like we've fought this battle before. And now Zoe's generation has to deal with it. Zoe, what's your thoughts? I mean, my goodness, you know, I'm 61 years old and you're just starting, and you know, Ogama, and Ogama has young, young children. This is devastating news if you really think about it.
Yeah, I feel almost desensitized to it at this point. I just think, you know, Robert, we were just talking about the Willow Project too, the other night, Ogama, and just like how devastating that news is. And it's just, like I've been saying, like every day something else, but I don't know. I still have to be really hopeful for the younger generation because they're just so innovative and they're coming up with so many different solutions and ideas and also just different attitudes on how to go about these issues. I also think a lot about, you know, solar energy and other types of clean energy that truly are clean, that aren't greenwashing, you know? And I think of people like, you know, Winona's son, Gway Gasco, who's working at 8th Solar Fire, and he's going around to different reservations and teaching them about solar power. So I hope to see more initiatives and things like that happening to, you know, educate our youth on what these energy resources are and which ones are damaging and which ones actually could help. But yeah, what do you think about that, Ogama?
You know, I have to keep up the hope just like you do. And I do see a lot of really good efforts. And, you know, greenwashing is another thing that we see a lot of, too. And one of those things, you know, with the electric cars and even some of the solar, you know, has been greenwashed a little bit, that there's a lot of those, you know, precious minerals that are required to process and make those batteries that require mining. And copper and nickel mining is really a big threat to Minnesota right now as well. And, you know, I really would like to see more people pushing for truly green energy, like you said, like hemp batteries and those types of things that don't require that level of mining to happen. And, you know, as a parent, like Robert said, of young children, you know, I was just sitting, I had to take my cat to the vet yesterday. He's fine, mostly. It's nothing disastrous that he was there for. And, I seen somebody, I think Robert let me know that this had happened. And I started looking up articles of it. And I mean, my stomach was in my feet. And, I'm thinking about my baby. I'm thinking about my 10-year-old. And I'm thinking about these types of dangers and why we as human beings keep taking these kinds of risks. And, according to the Environment America group or the it's actually the Minnesota Public Interest Research Group for Environment Minnesota's Research and Policy Center. As of 2012, they reported that 75% of U.S. nuclear power plants had leaked tritium, and that tritium is a radioactive form of hydrogen that can cause cancer and genetic defects. And, that was as of 2012. So I don't know if those numbers are, larger or smaller. I'm really struggling to find updated numbers on that because a lot of these organizations, the pollution control agencies in those places, they don't want us to know those numbers, right? Because that would indicate that perhaps they aren't doing their job. That would let us know what's really going on. And, I have a really hard time trusting a lot of these agencies.
Ogama and Zoe, I think this is where government falls short for us, because we talk about hemp batteries. Now, if the government right out supported it, helped fund these startups, and got us out of this mess with minerals, I think that's the capacity what government can do in a good way, but I don't see anybody stepping up to that. Or maybe not the technology's up there enough now. I don't know. But to me, that would be a governmental help, like building bridges and things like that.
Well, you got to follow the money, Robert. There's no money in startups, in the government funding startups. They can't project, they can't schedule money into a budget on the projection of a startup supposedly being able to do this. That's one of the big drawbacks to the government, funding this.
Government can bail out banks, rich people, all these things that have happened, since COVID. And then also you're old enough to remember 2008 and the bank collapse then.
I am. But that's almost a different issue, because that's like a circular cycle, because, they bail out the banks and the banks pay them back in campaign donations and those types of things. And, that's the circle of political life with the U.S. government when we're talking about, big bailouts for corporations. But, when we're talking about things like a big thing that's coming up is the budget policy for the federal government. And a big part of that budget is the money for Native people. And, that includes, IHS and, all kinds of other funding that directly affects Native people throughout the nation. And, the way that our budgets are done here in the United States is just, it really doesn't make any sense. They're kind of playing with imaginary numbers, and yet they won't invest into these companies that could help bail us out of this, because those numbers are imaginary. So there's a lot of hypocrisy that happens there.
It is, but young ones like you and Zoe have to say, I've had enough of this. And maybe ranked choice voting has something to do with this too. I don't know, but to get people in there to move and groove and not, we're ending the show here real soon, but I saw old TikTok I always want to say Barry, but Bernie Sanders on old talk show when he was super young. And guess what? He was saying the exact same things as he was 30, 40 years later. It's just a lot of us have caught up to it, and it's not white noise, and it's things that need to be done. And your generation and the boomers need to really step it up. And I don't see that happening. So that, thank God for Gen Z. And go ahead, Ogama. We got 30 seconds.
I just want to remind people that February 3rd of 2012, there was a leak of tritium at the Prairie Island Nuclear Power Plant in Minnesota as well.
Oh, my God. We'll be back next week. You're listening to Native Roots Radio. Free Leonard Peel.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now,
children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
ABC News, I'm Chuck